I tease people that I feel like I can get by with it on. So, but anyhow, it's always fun seeing a couple like Tom and Marlene who really just spent a lifetime investing in the church people and loving them, taking care of them, just doing a lot of things that just don't happen in everyday life. And what a great thing. Amen. So, shoebox, if you do a shoebox, you don't have the $9, I'll pay your $9. I'll do 20 of them. That's how many grandkids I have. I've got one in the chute. That sounds a little bit tacky, doesn't it? Have one in the womb. But anyhow, what a great... Charles, I'm going to ask you to share a little bit this morning. And I wanted to just hold it till now so that you wouldn't get all nervous. And because it's going to be difficult to see you blush. But several weeks ago, and it's been several weeks ago, Charles was in an accident on a motorcycle and experienced a miracle. And I want him to share about that because I think it's important. It has a little bit to do with what we're going to be talking about today, how that the particular facet of faithfulness I'm going to talk about today can do a lot of things for us if we just give ourselves to it. But Charles, I want you to come on up and let's give Charles a big welcome. Do, 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 do. Are you nervous?
No.
I didn't think you would be. Do you still like me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Look at this. We're about the same height now. Yeah. You know one thing you don't do? You know, you don't mess with your pastor.
Right.
Right. You always have his back.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen the movie Blindside?
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's you and me.
Yeah.
The hand of God is so quick to move when we call upon it that it does literally spare lives. And I've been wanting him to share this, and I said, we need to share that because sometimes we just kind of take stuff in stride and thank God for miracles. But when God saves somebody's life, I'm excited about that. And so I'm going to let you just kind of share a little bit about what happened and what you did and how God really did. And there's other things. There's people involved that prayed for you, spoke the word that morning. But anyhow, you've got 30 seconds. No, you've got longer than that. But just share with them.
Good morning, everybody. Well, kind of back up with it, Pastor West, you know, he told us the story about one of the was when he was going traveling somewhere and all of a sudden this car, and he said, in the name of Jesus, you know, I heard, and then I heard the deal about his sister. Well, make this short. I was, September 23rd, about 2:45. I had just left my brother back there, Telly, and, getting on the bike and just thinking out loud, talking to, thinking I wanted to go see my daughter. She works at Chinese Express. Well, as I was traveling down this road right here, just easy on not the need for speed and nothing like that. It just helps clear my mind when you leave work. So I'm thinking out loud. I got this certain music about getting ready. Yeah, I was on my motorcycle traveling down. I had the earplugs in. Well, I made a bad call that early that morning. I normally 99.9% of the time I wear my helmet, but for some macho move, I just decided not to. Well, I said, well, I see so many other people wearing it. I'm gonna try that. Well, it was a bad thought that morning. Yeah, it was a bad thought that morning, you know. So as I was traveling down there, as each time whether I'm in the car or on the bike, I always look towards this church, you know. Just what it used to be when I was working second shift. I used to look and see if the kids was playing basketball and just kind of admire what they were doing and going on. Well, as I was got to that intersection down here by what's that, Main Street in Old 40? Well, I heard a voice in my head tell me, go home. It literally said that. And I've still been punning on that for the moment. Well, lo and behold, I decided, no, I'm going to go this way. Well, and when I turned and I was passing by the Frisbee golf deal, it still said, a voice still came ahead, said, turn around and go home. Well, I said, such a nice day, so nice. Gotta be. So I just kept going, looking at the Armory, then passed by the pool, then looked over here to Washington, they redoing that. So I said, man, if I get through the deepest part of this traffic over here on the part of that Main Street, I'm gonna be just fine. So I did, and I got past that, got to the stoplight by the Fox Theater. So I was looking around because I had to stop. So I pulled when it was ready time to go. So I drove off still just looking at the other building in the corner out of my eye. So when I looked, and my daughter hadn't got to work, I like, okay, I just keep on going and just go on home through Main Street. Well, by the time I got to 15th Street, I seen this car. It had stopped, but by the time I entered the intersection, it was there. And I said, Jesus, and I've been kind of punning on this. Only conclusion I come that, you know, people ask me, well, how did you stop? Just hit the car and all these things? I said, no, I said, be honest with you, I did not lay that bike down. I said it had to be something supernatural. Because when I said, Jesus, all I remember was sitting up, and this thing, though, I just remember being on the ground. That oldest gal of mine said, did you go? I said, I don't think so, because, when I rolled over, I heard this voice. It was telling me, oh, I got you. And then when I finally, I don't know if you call it collecting your bearings or whatever, this guy, I couldn't tell who it was. I just knew they was upon me and said, hey, did they stop? And he said, hey, dude, don't move. And I said, where they at? So I was all mad. I was like, where they at? So I was definitely going to let, I couldn't tell if it was a male or female. I just remember this civil car. And to this day, I still don't know how I didn't hit that. And, I mean, it was had to be from me to the, and I have, my bike is the 1800, so it's a big bike. So what I'm thinking, and I was only probably running 10, 15, because the speed limit is 20. Well, like I said, I just remember saying, Jesus, and we would have hit. So I'm assuming that I would have went over the top of the car. It laid that bike down, and like I said, the cop told me that I rolled and I didn't see the bike. 20 feet. I went 20 feet to 40 feet. So I'm like, wow, wait a minute. So when these guys, the ambulance and the soldier was taking me, palpating and all that. So, they said, we're going to have to take you to the hospital. I said, oh no. Dude, I ain't going on there. I said, man, you know how much money that costs for you to drive me over there? So he said, sir, we got to be set. I said, well, only thing is wrong with me, I can't see. He said, well, reason why you can't see, you got blood. I said, oh my God, you mean my head is gone? And he said, no, come on. So I said, I just need my phone. I need to call my wife, tell her what's going on. I called her.
I thought he was joking. He was like, hey, you gotta go to the hospital. And I'm back at the ambulance. I'm like, what? Like, no, cause he was like, I'll call. I was like,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we'll hung up and I called him back. I'm like, no. Like, wait a minute. How did he get into a wreck? He was in the tundra. So what? Did the semi hit him or what? So I was like, and then it didn't dawn on me until I called Dexter to tell you when it got to the emergency room. Dexter's like, Andrea, he was on his bike. It's like, oh crap. And I'm like, here I go again. Cause, Devin's dad was in an accident too when I was married to him. And I'm like, I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this. I can't do this again. You know, but he was with us that day.
So, you know, everything Pastor West said was saying up to that point, you know, I never thought, and I just, every time he said that incident, it's just really stuck with me throughout the thing. I used to talk to her because whenever we go to Salina and bike, I was thinking like, geez, man, the way some people drives were accident. You know, I'm keeping this. You know, pray for peace, safe driving for all drivers when we travel. Well, those words, what he told me, it really, really came out. I mean, so powerful that I didn't do it consciously. So I feel like it's written on my soul. And, you know, the whole time the guy was doing this and that, all I could think about, even through the morphine, I was kind of out of my league. Well, in the South, we say pecan pie. Well, I wasn't saying pecan pie. I was saying sweet potato pie. And I told that guy, I said, that's all I can think about. That's all I can think about right there. That's all I want. So, you know, just, you know, and I was really, really, really down about it because I'm used to going this and having to do it. Well, I happened to go to my doctor, and I was complaining about it. I said, man, this is really playing psychic. She said, you know what? This is your very time, good time for you to get closer to your God. I said, what? You know, because I was looking at her, I said, you got to be kidding me. You telling me this? And she said, yes, this is a good time for you to really get closer to God. You got the time. And it reverted back to me. I kept hearing that voice in my head saying, oh, this is a time for you and I to really hash it out. You know, you've been praying for a better relationship. So this is your time. So I said, you got my attention this way? I was thinking you got my attention because it was so that brother by that asking me, man, you all right? You know, brother and sister. I said, man, will you shut up, man? Leave me alone. So, dealing with being out after she said that, it really, really opened a light in me. I just didn't, like I said, I didn't know really what was going on. I was like, I wasn't saying God, why is me, but I'm like, man, dude, you're supposed to be tough, dude. There ain't nothing like this supposed to be. You've been smashed, collision, whatever. But everybody asked me what happened. I said, dude, I did not lay that bike down. I did not do that. And I remember Pastor West telling me, he said, you know, God spared you. So all, you know, I'm over here thinking like, man, the devil really is trying to kill me, dude. So, you know, him telling me that, it really, really helped me to, really search after God. I mean, really, really, more so than I ever have. Cause if somebody, she could tell you that if I can't listen to the radio 103.9, I put, the Bible reading, cause you know, it ain't good to read and drive. So I put that on there. So we on our drives or whatever, back and forth to the doctors. That's all that we hear. But really, I have a desire now to say, God saved me. I mean, God loved me to a point to where that was my time. I thought that was my time when all that happened, but Pastor West really helped me clarify a lot of things that I was going through with the question of what, like, not so much why does this mean, I mean, what's the purpose of this? Why is God not talking to me? Yeah, he spoke to me in a way that really, really changed me to where instead of having that lazy heart or whatever, you know, unsubmissive heart, I am eternal grateful because my heart is very, very soft now. And that's what I needed. I didn't realize that until, and she could tell you that, she said, you must be in pain, because you grouchy. I guess that's the, you said, now, hey, it's kind of like what you said. Do I really have to apologize? He said, yes. So, but what I'm getting to is that after, I always wanted to see a miracle. Didn't realize I see a miracle happening to me. I thought I'd see it on somebody else. But I'm eternally grateful. I got a good wife here that been through thick and thin here with me. And I am eternally grateful. And like I said, that word that pastor spoken to me that they didn't realize it was happening, it really came. So that, oh, Jesus, that's my quote right there from now on out.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys. Cracked a few ribs, too, right? Yeah. Well, we all know that God doesn't cause wrecks, but He sure delivers us from them. Amen. Thank God for that. I give the McCoy brothers fits every now and then, and I'm glad that they're redeemed. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying anything to them. But you know, so many times in life, things happen that spare our life, and we really don't give credit to God for what He does. And I just thank God that God can supernaturally move. God's a supernatural God. We thank God that He comes down to our natural level, but He's a supernatural God that wants to work in our lives here on this side of heaven. Amen and amen. Well, it is your lucky day. I got some really wonderful jokes. Teaching is not for sensitive souls. While reviewing future, past, and present tenses with my English class, I posed this question. I am beautiful is what tense? One student raised her hand, said past tense. That's great. Since I have two grandsons that work for UPS, I thought I'd throw this one in. Thinking no one could hear me as I loaded up a UPS tractor trailer, I began to whistle. I was really getting into it when a co-worker in the next trailer poked his head in. You know, I always used to wish I could whistle, he said. Now I just wish you could. And this one is, if you have jokes that you can pass on, like these are really good, but a man goes to a bee store and orders a dozen bees. When the clerk returns with the bees, the man counts them and states that there are 13 bees and he had only ordered 12. To which the clerk replies, the last one is a freebie. Yeah. You guys, this is a vicious crowd. Charles, you got them warmed up for me, buddy. You know, what I want to call attention to, you know, I didn't give you this scripture, Diana, but if you'd go to Galatians 5:22, and we'll start out with that a little bit. But today we thank God that He sent us the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to be our teacher and our guide here today. And Lord, we open up to Your teaching, Your instruction, and we thank You for it. And Lord, I thank You for anointing our ears to hear accurately and anointing my mind. And Lord, that You think through my mind, speak through my lips as I call upon You. And we thank You that this is the day that You have made, and we can and will rejoice in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, we're going to talk about faithful, being full of faithfulness. But here in Galatians 5:22, New King James Version says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. And what I want to do today, the fruit of the Spirit are available in any born-again believer. They come in by the Spirit of God. All of those fruit are in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, that should be what's oozing out from you. If that should be the production of fruit that's coming out from you. You should be a person of love. You should be a person of joy. You should be a person that's at peace. You should be a person who is long-suffering, and that you're kind and you're good and that you're faithful. There's faithfulness in your life. And those things are not something that just happen. They are something that you yield to, if you will. In other words, they're there, but not always do they come out. Not always is that fruit actually produced in a believer's life. I have said this over the years. I love being filled with the Holy Spirit. I love having my own prayer language, and I love being able to communicate with the Spirit of God. The Bible says he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks directly to God. Speaks directly to God. And so there's something about being able to pray the perfect will of God for your life by the Spirit of God. But I've also seen this, and this is always something that really does kind of, it gets my attention. It should get all of our attention, because sometimes the most mean-spirited people that I've ever met are people who profess to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's no love coming out of their life. There's no joy coming out of their life. There's no long-suffering being produced in their life. There's no kindness. There's no goodness. There's no faithfulness. So you can be filled with the Spirit and be a mean-spirited Christian by you making a decision to not go with what the Holy Spirit's leading you to. I tell you all the time, not all the time, but quite a bit of the time, and it seems like more and more that God would say something like this to me when I would start feeling a certain way. He said, you're not going to give way to that, are you? And see, my carnal flesh is saying, yes, I want to give way to this. This would feel so good to release myself to. They need to have a piece of that. But you're better off not yielding to it. Because if you don't yield to it, you don't have to deal with it. That's what grace is. Dealing with it before it gets out there. Now, God can deal with it when it gets out there. Like Charles, now Charles was talking about how many times God told him. And see, Charles is probably like most of us, we're slow learners. Turn around and go home. Or it's a nice day. I got it from here. And the Lord does it again. Turn around and go home. God, beautiful day. Beautiful day. Turn around. Sometimes it makes absolutely no sense what God's telling you to do, but it's the right thing to do. Just absolutely the right thing to do. So the good news about our lives is that we don't have to be perfect, but we do have to, in a way, yield ourselves to God on a regular basis so that we can lay somewhat of a foundation, if you will, a foundation upon which God can build your gifts and the treasures that he's placed on the inside of you and me. But here in Galatians said the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is faithfulness. Learning to be faithful, learning to be a person full of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2, New King James Version says it like this. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. God wants us to be faithful people. And, you know, God uses in the Word of God, sometimes this is a pretty strong word. And we in the flesh don't like strong words like this when he says, it is required of you that are believers that you be found faithful. I'm getting ready to preach to the cross here. It's required of us that we be found faithful. Faithful and faithfulness is not something that just happens. It's something that you learn. It's something that you develop. It's something that you give way to. It's something that you allow God to demonstrate in your life. God is love. The Bible tells us that, but he's the perfect example of faithfulness. All you have to do is read through the scriptures. And you can see time and time again that God was true to his word. True to his word. Every time something would happen. I love the example of Abraham and Sarah when they've gone all their many years thinking that there's going to be a seed that comes out of them that's going to produce all the seeds thereafter. And Abraham and Sarah thinking, when's this going to happen? And then, and God shows up when Abraham's 100 years old. And is true to his word. Has Isaac. And we all know the story of Abraham a little bit, and you know how Abraham tried to help a little bit, you know, ended up with a work of flesh. See, that's what happens when we try to help a little bit, we'll end up with a work of flesh. What we want to do is end up with a work of the Spirit. Amen? So once you get to the place where faithfulness is your foundation, then the gifts that are on the inside of you, God can begin to develop them. But see, many times people want their gift to take precedence over being faithful. And we can't do that. I was thinking about this because I had a good conversation with a friend a couple weeks ago. And we talked a little bit about what's required of people being involved in ministry. And if I were Tim and I was about ready to take over this church in several months, I would want some pastor to come in and preach what I'm about ready to preach. What are you going to do, fire me? And so I'm just thinking that any pastor probably would love to have some pastor come in and minister what I'm about to minister, because in this day and age, faithfulness is something that has just literally flown out the window. What Charles forgot to mention, he didn't mention that he heard me say it, but the thing about it is, he heard me say it on a Wednesday night. Didn't hear me say it on a Sunday morning. I've said it on a Sunday morning, but that particular season, he heard that on a Wednesday night. Why? Because he was in church on a Wednesday night. It's funny thing about words from God. I never have words from God for people who aren't here. There are times that I wake up in the morning as a pastor and God lays somebody on my heart and I say, and it's just like a straight word from God for that person. I'm saying, man, when I get to church and I see them, I'm going to live. They don't even come. And I say, God, you want me to call them? He says, no. They need to learn to be faithful. Dude, who was doing that a while ago? Faithfulness, here we go. Faithfulness is the mark of maturity. Faithfulness, the kind of faithfulness that a pastor looks for. I know I'm a pastor and I'm not getting out of pastoring, but I'll probably get an opportunity to share this at Light of the World someday. But faithfulness is something that a pastor has to have from his people. Not everybody's going to be there, but that's okay. But the ones that are faithful, I'm telling you, God's going to develop their gifts to the fullness of their purpose. And I've watched that over the years. And sometimes we understand this, and you and I understand this. You can read through the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 and talking about the body of Christ. And it says something in there in the latter part of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It talks about those parts of the body that seem less necessary are the most necessary. So often you think, well, I'm not all that important because what I'm just, no, what you're doing is supplying your supply. And for you not to give your supply that God's given for you to share in whatever church that you're going to, then you are being, you ready for this? Selfish. Ooh, it's a bad word. Selfish can we be? You're being selfish. Oh, the church can get by without me on Wednesday night. Well, can you get by without it? Wouldn't you like to think the last word that comes out of your mouth is not, oh, Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus. And somehow the bike lays down and Charles goes for a row, and the angel's going, boy, that guy knows how to roll. And the Lord says, stop. God saved his life. Wouldn't you hate to go off into eternity using God's name in vain? When Jesus comes back, the Bible says, will the Son of Man find faith? That includes faithfulness. It does. You say, Pastor West, are there any times in your life that you have felt like not being faithful? About every Monday. But I get over it. I get over it because I know God is so good to me. And I also know that the people that see, we don't always realize, to me. Now remember, I'm preaching for Tim today. He's coming. You can say, boy, thank God he's coming. But if I were Tim, I wouldn't want Pastor West preaching this. Because who we look for in helping in the ministry are people who are faithful. I think this way, and I may think wrong once in a while, but not all the time. Sometimes I get it. But I think this, I think God calls ministers to a body. I believe that God calls people to that body. And I believe that God calls us together to work together. I believe that with all my heart. And so when the gift of God, which is a fivefold ministry, we're all gifts from God, don't get me wrong, but there are fivefold ministry gifts that come that the body of Christ needs. And so when your pastor comes and God's appointed him and you accept it, not everybody has to receive me as pastor, I understand that. But you can make a choice to. But when you do that, you're putting yourself in position to contribute your supply. And if that pastor were to get up, because we don't like, another word we don't like, that probably people just banter around all the time, and used to be a strong word, but it's the word called submission. Not everybody likes to submit. It's easy to submit when you're always in total agreement with somebody. But when you're not in total agreement with them, it's not that easy. So if the pastor comes in and says, you know what, for you to grow probably as much as God would like you to grow, it may involve you going to church regularly. So what if your pastor says, we're going to have church on Wednesday nights? Oh, dear God, here we go again. What's he trying to do? Save the world? Yes. As a matter of fact, we are. There's a greater purpose, brothers and sisters. There's a greater purpose. It is for us to go out and do the work of the ministry. It is for us to pursue God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. God is always faithful to deliver us. We all go through tough times. I actually run into people that quit going to church because they've had a rough time. When I went through a rough time, really rough time, when my wife stepped into heaven, my emotions were frazzled. It had been a long week in KU Med Center. And when I stepped on that threshold, walking out of that ICU unit room, I remember I no more got my back foot raised as I stepped across the threshold of that room. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to minister Sunday. And I said, Lord, I can't, no. He said, you said no to the Lord? I said, yeah. I can't do that. And then he said something like this. It's exactly what he said. He said, if you do, I'll sustain you. I said, well, you're going to have to. Because the way I am right now, I can't do it. Maybe the best thing that ever happened to me was deciding, go ahead and do what God said to do. And in the middle of that, when I was up ministering, that was on a Thursday. Several days later, it's Sunday morning, and we're going through the COVID stuff. I will not go there. I will not go there. I will not go there. But I remember getting up And when I started talking, I could sense the anointing of God just come down on me. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Because ultimately, I proved my faithfulness to God. It's Him that I serve. It's He that leads and directs my footsteps. It's my faithfulness. I'm faithful to you because I'm faithful to God. And listen, thank you for appreciating me driving here from Topeka on a regular basis. Didn't know this was going to happen, but I do not mind driving here. Sometimes, you know, you get a little bit weary of the drive, but most of the time you're spending time talking with God and just ministering to the Lord. And so it's not a bad 3 hours. It's pretty good. And you get to see some beautiful sunrise. Amen. That's amazing how they look in your rearview mirror. But I just say thank you, God. And I was probably not on the top 10 list for faithfulness when I came into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. It's something you have to learn. But here's what pastors need to know when it comes down to faithfulness is just simply this. Can I count on you? Can I count on you to do your part? What if you're not here and somebody needs a supply from you that Wednesday night? It's not all coming from me. But what if you have a gift on the inside of you and there's a person in the body of Christ that doesn't really relate all that well with me? And there are some people that don't relate all that well with me. You run from me, I run from you. But we still love each other at a distance. And there's not anybody here that I feel that way about. Well, maybe a couple. But there's not anybody I feel that way about, real honestly. But we learn to be faithful because we're self-taught. But if we're self-taught by God, then that faithfulness comes right out of the heart of God. So if somebody here that you really relate to, now fortunately I relate, Charles really likes what I have to say. He makes comments all the time. I said, Pastor, thank you, that helped me. That says a couple things. Number one, he's listening. And number two, he's honoring the pastor. And he'll say the same thing about Tim because he learned to do that with me. Pastors are not your enemy, they're your friend. And you're not my enemy, you're my friend. But what I want to know is, can I count on you? And that's what Tim is going to want to know when he makes the transition into this full-time position as senior pastor. We're going to do it just, would be this 22 weeks from today, we're going to do it. And then he had to go and get stuff, which he's delivered from. He's doing much better. His countenance is good. I can't tell you everything that happens in that family, but some of it's pretty funny. Maybe someday they can share that. You know, there's been moments where if the COVID didn't kill Tim, Chris was thinking about it. So we're really happy for the grace of God in these families. But listen, the Apostle Paul talked about just things in his life, and you can read about that in the book of Corinthians as well, but he talks about all the things that happened to him. But he also knew what the psalmist said. And the psalmist said this in Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Many are the afflictions. Any righteous people in here? If you know Jesus Christ, you're the righteousness of God. And the Bible says there's many afflictions coming our way. But out of them, all the Lord delivers you. Now the enemy will try to put stuff on you. You need to understand what stuff comes from the enemy and what stuff doesn't come from the enemy. But anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is from the devil. It's bad. God's a good God. The devil's bad. The difference between The devil and God, devil bad, God good. Every situation, devil bad, God good. If it's come to kill, steal, and destroy, it's from the devil. Well, you know, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I mean, I probably deserve this. Would you get off of that? You're not that big a deal. Again, Tim is glad I'm preaching this. The reason I say that is not to make you feel bad. Because if you think you're so big that his redemption through his son, Jesus Christ, is not enough for you, I feel bad for you. Because his redemption's more than enough for you. And you don't have to take on anything that Jesus paid the price for. Woohoo. Out of them all the afflictions, God, the Lord, delivered them from them all. God is faithful. Everybody say God is faithful. Listen to this scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. What is the Lord? Now, faithful is, everybody say it, faithful. Faithful is faithful. Then we also know when we read in scripture in Acts chapter 10:34, that God's not a respecter of persons. He shows no partiality among his children. But we also know this, that there are people in the body of Christ that actually do better in the things of God than others. And it's not because God likes them better. I had fun with this when my kids were growing up. Melanie was, she was the official Oakley record keeper. And when Sandy and I'd go out for an evening, then we'd come back and Melanie would have a full ledger full of stuff done by all the other kids. All the other siblings. And so they would come to me at times and they'd say, Dad, so-and-so did this and they didn't get in trouble. And how come I did and they didn't? I said, well, because I like them better. And there's other times they'd come and do that, and I'd say, you know what you need to do right now? You need to go ask them to forgive you. And they'd take off running, and they'd stop. Didn't do that. This partiality thing, even in the kingdom of God, can get people in trouble. I can tell you real honestly that there's things I've gone through, I wish I wouldn't have gone through them. I wish I wouldn't have had to have gone through them. After I've gone through them and the Lord has helped me out and delivered me out of it, turned it to my good, I can look back and say, I really learned something out of that. I know God didn't bring it my way, but I learned something. I learned that I could trust in the faithfulness of God, that what he said he would do. God's not a respecter of persons. Can you say amen? He doesn't like me better than he likes you. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love you more than he loves me. God is love. He's a perfect lover. He loves everybody the same. Some people just learn how to tap into it more. Again, if I were Tim, I'd want somebody preaching this for him. It just gives me so much liberty to know that I'm transitioning. Because most pastors, it's hard to get up and preach this in your church because people know you. They're familiar with you. And part of the problem sometimes in church relationships is you get so familiar with the pastor, you forget that he's a gift. Amen. Here's the definition of the word faithful. One who is full of faithfulness is firm, stable, reliable. Boy, there's a word that's not in most people's vocabulary. Loyal and trustworthy. Let me say those again. Firm, stable, reliable, dependable, loyal, and trustworthy. When you have those characteristic traits, that's the kind of person you want working for you. You go out into the public job force, and when people are looking for people to work for them, that's the kind of person they're looking for. Somebody that's reliable. Somebody that they can count on. I remember talking to a man that runs Riedel's landscaping. And we had a lot of our people back when he first started. It was the guy before him. Lesserman, thank you. But I remember running into, say, Byron or Myron? Myron. I remember running into Myron at a store. He said, and I was new, and because I just had taken over, Jack had gone on, he was on his way to Massachusetts to pastor. But Myron said, Pastor West, I just want you to know, the best workers I've ever had are from Joy Fellowship. That was the name of the church back then. He said, those guys just worked their tail off for me. I said, well, that's a good testimony. And he said it like this, they're reliable. I can count on them. That is what a pastor's looking for. If you have something put in your hands to do for the church, for the pastor, can you be counted on to do it? Even when it's not easy to do. Some of the best workers in the church are people who are the busiest already because they know how to work their schedule. I'm going to the cross here, Lord. I'm not preaching this angry. I'm not preaching this. I'm just preaching this with an expectant hope that spirit of hope will get in and that spirit of faithfulness will get on this church and we'll become the most faithful group of people in this whole city, this whole area. And it will be contagious to other people. How can you love and work like that? Because we know God. That's why we can be so faithful. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How about you? Are you a faithful steward? One of the examples that's used in scripture, Diana, you always get some. I give Diana tons of scriptures right down. She, on the way out, she said, Pastor, you didn't use half of them. Would you quit confessing that? You can have what you say. Quit saying that. But anyhow, we read the story of the stewards where the Lord, or the story of the parable of the talents, where the Lord gives to one 5 talents, and he gives to another one 3 talents, and he gives to another one 1 talent. And we all know and that can be used in so many different areas, but we're going to use it in the arena of faithfulness today. In talents, we're talking about maybe financial and people being faithful with what God's given them financially. I believe God wants to bless everybody financially. And I believe it's relative from person to person, real honestly. But let's just say, like, the talents that are being used here in this particular case are talents of faithfulness. And so to one is given 5 talents of being faithful. One is given 3. And I mean, this guy is active. And then one is given 1. And so when the master comes back and he says to the one in 5, he said, well, how'd you do? He said, well, you know, it took a little bit, but I turned this thing around and I turned it into 5 more gifts more people being involved in talent. So now we have 10. And the master said, well done. And he went to the person with 3 and he said, now, how'd you do? He said, well, you know, it took me a while, but I turned my 3 into 3 more. Now we have 6 talents. Lord, master said, that's awesome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then he went to the other one that just had 1 talent. So how did he say, well, I knew you were a hard master. So I decided just not to do anything with me because I don't want to hurt it. Don't want to contaminate it. And the master said, nah, I'm giving yours to the one that has the most. In other words, I'm giving yours to the one that has already accepted the most responsibility, and I'm going to make his load heavier because you've shirked yours. But the one that's doing all this, he doesn't care because he knows how to handle it. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we don't do our part and then we wonder why everything doesn't work as good as it should. I've gone through this like for a workers' meeting, but even in church from in times past. What it takes just to have this service is kind of, and Wednesday nights really are kind of our bread and butter. This is how we show a nation. This is how we show a citywide area, how we show a citywide area. This is how we show people that we really care about serving Christ. That happens on Wednesday nights. And we get, if you will, we get, you know, I challenge parents all the time. I raise kids and all of us that have raised kids understand this, but we get a couple times a week to get our kids in a position to be taught some things that will be of eternal value. And yet, and we're talking maybe an hour and a half on Sunday morning, an hour and 15 minutes on a Wednesday night. And then they send their kids off to the schools of Egypt for 40 hours a week and think nothing of it. Matter of fact, they send them off to the Egypt school for 40 hours a week. And then they let them rest during church. Well, just stay home and sleep. The very thing that can help them and give them eternal value. Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Tim's probably loving it that I'm preaching this message. But I'm telling you the truth. People that go to church faithfully do better. So what if we all just get, what if we just come in here doing, listen, what we're doing is we're trying to equip you so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. You need to come to our church. Our pastor never gets on us. I prod you a little bit, but we should be proud of our family. Amen. It's good preaching. So many times all God is waiting for is you to put your hands to something. That's kind of like an act of faith. Everybody say act of faith. So, here's another one. This is so good. I wish it was original with me, but it's not. We talk a lot about ministry of helps, helping in the church. And for whatever reason, people have an ego problem with, well, I want to be known a little bit more. I want a more important job than just being a helper. It may help you to know that the Holy Spirit's called a helper. He doesn't seem to shirk that any. You mean if I'm a helper, I could be important? Yes, you're important whether you are or not. Before you even committed to do what God's called you to do, you became very precious to God. He loved you so much that while you were yet sinner, He sent Jesus to shed His blood for you. So you're already important to Him. But He's put in each and every one of us gifts, talents, if you will, that will literally profit the kingdom. And God wants to do it with your help. Is this working okay? Is it working good enough that we'd take up another offering and you'd be happy with it? Four people shook their heads, yes. Others, rigor mortis set it in. I'm not moving. All right, here we go. How do you keep from being a liability to your pastor rather than an asset? How do you keep from doing that? Tim's going to like this. One, determine to be someone who helps take the load off your pastor's shoulders. When you start a new task, seek to fulfill it to the best of your ability, just as if the Lord Jesus Himself had delegated that task to you. That's an incredible statement there. I've had people over years, not often, but I had one that was upset me, and their response to me over some dialogue was, "You think you're God." I said, well, thank you for thinking that, but I'm not quite there yet. I am like Him. I'm born of Him. I'm a child of his, but I'm not him. I'm smart enough to know that. I've watched people over the years that told people that they were the return of Jesus, and those people ended up in some bad ways because they believed him. The people believed him. Hallelujah. Another way to take the load off your pastor, learn to flow in the supernatural things of God, even if you're handling the practical matters of ministry. Learn to pray in the Spirit over what you're doing. And if you're not praying in the Spirit, you don't have your own prayer language, ask God to fill you with this Holy Spirit so you can have your own prayer language, so that you can begin to pray over your life and what God's called you to do. Whether it's in the workforce or in the church workforce, wherever you may be, you're witnessing for God. And the Holy Spirit will help you witness. You'll be an effectual witness out in a world that needs some light today. And everybody agrees with that said. So if we prove to be faithful in the little things, that platform of faithfulness will literally promote us into deeper things of God. It really will. I said it really will. And a lot of times we don't realize this, but the Bible is very clear too. In the book of, I think, Song of Solomon, it talks about it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sometimes it's just the little things. Well, Pastor, my life's not perfect, so I just can't come to church. That makes absolutely no sense. Pastor, all hell is broken loose in my life, so I've decided and determined I'm going to stay away from church for the next 3 months. Well, wow. I feel bad for you. I had a grandson tell me some time ago, it was a couple years ago, just right out, looked at me and said, Grandpa, I don't think I believe in that God stuff. I didn't try to convince him in any way or other. I just said, you know what? How's that working for you? I said, your life is totally screwed up. And I believe in God and my life is pretty good. Even if what I believed wasn't true, I'd still believe what I'm believing because it's working for me. Amen. This may be TMI. That's 12 o'clock. Charles, you took all my time. I remember a time in my life as a dad that I had 3 pair of underwear total. That's okay. You got a wash machine. You just wash them regularly. If you don't wash them regularly, you're in trouble. But now I can go a couple weeks with the same pair of my, no. I am a faith man. Huh? You're late. Oh, the things you hear at this church, you'd only hear this place. This is it. The thing is, we should all be willing to do the little things. When's the last time you drove by a piece of trash out by the road and thought, man, somebody needs to pick that up? You have that thought, you pick it up. Walk down the hallway, you see a piece of trash and say, well, somebody needs to pick that up. We'll pick it up. Go in the bathroom. Sometimes that's a dangerous place to go. It's the little things that sometimes mess things up. And I don't have time, and I may do some maybe next week. Actually, next week, my friend Brandon's ministering. And see, now you'll find out. I'll find out how faithful you are now that you know that. Well, it's not Pastor Wes, and golly, sometimes people are relieved it's not me. But you should be here because you're part of the body. Amen. I was going to get into the life of Joseph, but I really don't have time. And I think you're kind of getting the gist of what I'm talking about, because I just want you to know, in my heart, I really believe this church is just one little nudge away from the Holy Spirit to just taking off. And it's going to be necessary that there be a lot of faithful people. that they're faithful to God, first of all. Then faithful to the one that God places in their midst as a gift. I've had people tell me that I could go to Hades because they got so upset with me. And my thinking is, well, too bad, I'm going to heaven. So you might as well learn to like me now. Well, Pastor West, I'd like to be in a church where all the people that go to that church are just absolutely wonderful and perfect. You're going to have to die and go to heaven. Because there's nothing like that here. Because as soon as you get into another church, whatever it may be, and get to know the people, you're going to realize they have problems. And if they didn't have problems, when you got there, they got them. Tim, I hope you're happy for me saying all this stuff. God wants to do great things in our life. And so today when we break communion together, when we break bread, let's not only break it before the Lord, because he said this is the body. And if we discern the body rightly and properly, then it will be a strength to the body of Christ, this body in particular, today, that simply because we're taking it together. Amen. Come on up, guys. Serve the people. This portion represents the body of Christ. I'd just take yours and hold it till everybody's served, and then we'll partake of it together. Jesus told his disciples on the night before he was crucified, and they partook of the bread and the cup together. He said, "This is my body broken for you." And to take it and eat. And then rightly discern the body of Christ. We're not the entire body of Christ in this place. They're all over this city. There's people in this community today other than us that are believers. That are partaking of the body of Christ. They're part of us. And so we want them to live. We want this to be nourishment to them. But there are also people who take this and they take it with the wrong attitude. The wrong heart. We take it with the wrong heart because we know that we've been redeemed by the work of Jesus on the cross. Not only was his body broken for us, but his blood was shed for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a good morning, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Love the Lord. I love you guys. I think when I get ready to do that transition service, I might do it by video. Or I might have to turn around and look at the cross when I'm doing that. It's really because of the cross that I'm here. And it's really because of the cross that I'm going where I'm going. I think that's... And if there's anything I want you to remember when I leave is that, well, he told us to go to church. Yep. I told some of them, I think a Wednesday night crowd not too long ago, I said, when they get my tombstone ready, I'm going to have them print on it, "I told you to go to church." I think I already got something on mine, something about, I love this family. I love my immediate family, but also love my church family. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body. Take, eat. It is broken for you." Strong man. The cup represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sin. You can go ahead and partake of it when you get it. But this blood was shed for the remission of sin, and that's the doing away of your sin, past, present, and future, if that is necessary. But it covers your life. Amen. And this blood enables you and I to stand before God with us without any sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. Your life may not be perfect, but Jesus is, and he lives on the inside of you. Isn't that good? Amen. So take and drink. Hallelujah. Let me ask you another question. When praise and worship's happening, how quiet do you think we should be? Bible says, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. And hopefully somebody will amplify it for me. No, it says, shout unto the God with the voice of triumph. Need a little bit more of that. Amen. Tim, you can say thank you later. Well, let's see, I could lift one hand and appear to be somewhat weird, and or two and really look weird. Listen, if you go out here, people already think you're weird. But that's because they've never been here. Most people would come, they'd like it. Matter of fact, they watch it online. You know, I watched the other day, and you're actually pretty good. We were at a volleyball game the other day, and one of the girls, parents of the girls from Wichita that visited our church. And their daughters love it. They come from a Catholic background. Their daughters love it. And this one mom says, I watch you and Debbie every week. Watches the broadcast from Light of the World. And she said, I really like it. Well, thank you. Thank you for watching. Send money. Amen. Stand with me. You are very receptive this morning. Thank you. One more example and then I'll let you go. Basketball season starting, and it always gets the Oakley family, it gets our juices going. It makes this saliva just flow. I asked Wes if he was ready, and he said, yeah, but we love basketball. But wouldn't it be, how silly would it be? Wesley is, he's better looking than me, but basketball player, he still has a ways to go. He bypassed that a long time ago. But how silly would it be for Wes? We're getting ready to start maybe his senior year, and it's going to be a good year. That team's been playing together ever since, almost since they came out of the womb. Those kids have been playing a lot. But how silly would it be for him to go to the coach and say, Coach, I'm going out for basketball, but I won't be there until the first game. And the coach is going to say, well, enjoy watching from the stands. We do that with God sometimes. Every Sunday's a ball game. Every Wednesday night's kind of a warm up for the ball game. Are you following me? Yeah, but it's Wednesday night, Pastor West. You know, there's things going on. What? As the world turns on TV, I mean, you can record it and watch it later. And I'm not saying church's attendance is the only thing, but when you're a faithful person, you just do things above and beyond. Because you're getting ready for reaching the world. Amen. Father, I bless these people. And I thank you, Lord, for stirring each of our hearts and helping us to walk in a way that pleases you. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.